Thank you, Rev Don. And I want to begin this morning actually by saying thank you to Reverend Don, because this is my first time that I've been up here since he became our senior minister. It's my first opportunity to say how grateful I am for your support, not only for this morning, but for all of my studies and really all that I do and all that all of us do here. You're a wonderful leader, you're inspirational, and your support is very much appreciated, so thank you very much. Please join me. Very much appreciated. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to see all of you here. So many of my friends, loving faces. It's wonderful to see all of you. I want to talk to you this morning about love. It's a very important topic in my life, and I think it's a very important topic in the world. I've got some slides to go with it, and I've got some visuals to help you to take it in a deeper level. And so what is this thing we call love? I'm going to talk a lot about the difference between what we all call love. Sometimes in the month of February, there's this talk of love, Valentine's Day, and all of that. Well, there's another side to love that I want to share with you about this morning, and that's called unconditional love. And I would propose to you that unconditional love is the most important thing for life on earth, for life, for all of life. That it is more important to us than really anything else. Dr. Ernest Holmes says, "It is very likely that one of the greatest problems facing the individual in the world as a whole today find its roots in a lack of love." I would say that it's more important than food, that unconditional love is more important than water. It's actually more important than the air we breathe. We need it for our very survival and to thrive. So who here has heard of the failure to thrive syndrome? Raise your hands, nod your head. A lot of you, most of you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. But what I understand about that and what I know about the failure to thrive syndrome is it happens to babies and it happens to young children. And it's this thing that happens where a baby seems to be medically well. There seems to be nothing wrong with him or her. They're given enough food, nutrients, bottles, breast milk, water, whatever they need. They're given, of course, enough air. Their lungs are working well. They can breathe well. And they're kept warm and sheltered and safe. They've got really all they need to survive. But something is happening where they begin to fail. We don't know why exactly on looking at the medical level. There's nothing that seems to be wrong with them, but they begin to fail and they begin to degenerate. And eventually, this can actually lead to death. It's very sad. And it's tragic, and it does happen in the world today. And what I would say to you, and what the doctors say, is because they're lacking one thing, the most important thing for survival, love. We all need love to survive. You can feed us, you can give us water, we have air, we have shelter, and without love, we don't thrive, we can actually end our lives. And I would actually say to you, and this is kind of radical, but it's my belief, that the failure to thrive syndrome continues on with some of us into our adult lives. We're alive still, but we're not thriving. And that's why I want to talk to you about love today. So we're alive, but many of us are experiencing this deep inner pain, and we don't know what it's about. But there's a sadness inside of us. Or many of us have experienced depression at some time in our lives. Some of us deep depression, some of us light depression. What about mental health, mental illness? We see a lot of that in the world today. What about addictions? Oh, there's drugs, alcohol, there's sex addictions, drugs addictions, gambling, name it. Las Vegas, full of addictions happening there, right? It's kind of rampant in the world today. It has been for a long time. I would actually suggest to you that the reason for a lot of those conditions that are happening to people is lack of love. Not just any kind of love, but unconditional love. Now, that's a bold statement to make, I know that, but that's my belief, and I'm not the only one. So I want to talk with you a little bit more about that today and see if you might decide to agree with me on that point. And if not, that's all right. We all have our own opinions. But I can tell you that Dr. Ernest Holmes, not only does he say this quote, but he goes on to say a little bit later in this wonderful book, A New Design for Living. He says, "Children, normal and healthy at birth, who by circumstances are relegated to an orphan's home where love is lacking, soon become emaciated and sickly. The death toll is heavy." So there are others that believe that this lack of love can be the cause of sadness and death and depression and all sorts of things. And Dr. Ernest Holmes, being the founder of Science of Mind, is one of my mentors and teachers, of course, and I take what he says very seriously. So what is it about this lack of love? How does this look in our lives? I'll give you an example of how some of us go on to be unloving in our lives as adults, right? So as young babies, we maybe got the love that we thought we needed when we were little, where we were taken care of, we were fed, we were nourished, but we didn't get this deep unconditional love. And so within many of us, me included, lies this seed of pain and this seed of unworthiness. We don't know why, but we feel this inner sense of unworthiness, or that we're not lovable. Many of us walk around today feeling like we're not lovable, and we're not sure why, and it begins to show up in our lives. So it can show up where we are not always unconditionally loving and kind to those around us because we don't know how. And what I want to say about that is we don't know how because our parents didn't know how. So our parents loved us the best that they could with the the skills and the tools that they had, but that's the best that they had. And so if they didn't know how to unconditionally love us, then, of course, we didn't receive the love we need. And you know why they didn't give it? Because their parents didn't know how, and their parents before them, and their parents before them. So I want to say very clearly, there is no blame of caregivers here this morning. There's no shame to those of us who are parents or are caregivers and to our parents. And there's no judging and criticizing. These are just, it's information. It's information that many of us don't know how to be unconditionally loving, and so therefore we can't pass it on to our children. So how that looked for me, many years ago, a long, long time ago, when I was a young mom, and I had adolescent girls at home, two adolescent girls, and I was a single mom at that point because I had already ended my first marriage. I was a single parent, and I had a daughter whose bedroom looked like that, right? That's probably some of you have seen that before, heard of this before. Maybe you never did that, or maybe your children didn't, but it happened in my home. I had a daughter who wasn't really into cleanliness. She felt that if she left all of her things on the floor and around and all the surfaces, they'd be easier to find later. So why put it away if you can just see it now? And so she believed in living like this, and so as a mom, well, that wasn't really my style. I prefer a cleaner space. I prefer things put away. And of course, I want her to do her chores. And I would like it if she was maybe on time in the morning so we could go to school on time. So this is how it would look in my house. Sweetie, it's about 10 minutes before we need to leave for school, and I'm driving you. So are you almost ready? Mom, I just got out of the shower. I'm not ready. Leave me alone. I'll be ready later. Right? So there's this. And so then what happens to me? Oh, great. She's not ready again, and we need to leave in 10 minutes. I'm beginning to feel irritated, maybe a little bit angry, and my controlling nature, the one that wants to be on time, the part of me that wants to not be late to my work, and I want her to not be late to school, that begins to get triggered in me. And so I'm becoming irritated with her. So I'm like, what? You've got to get ready. We're waiting for you. We can't be late again. Your sister's going to be late. I'm going to be late to work. And, you know, I'm frustrated. Now, I'm not a yeller, and I'm not someone who would ever do corporal punishment. But I would say things that felt to her like I wasn't really supportive. I wasn't really appreciating her in that moment. So the message that she was getting as I'm getting irritated is that because you're not doing what I want you to do, I don't really care about you right now. I care about me right now, and I'm irritated. Because you're not doing fill in the blank, you're not really worthy of my love right now. So if you don't do fill in the blank, this activity, whatever it might be, then right now you're not really lovable. You'll be lovable tomorrow when you clean your room. You'll be lovable when you do the chores that I've asked you to do. So fast forward for kids that are a little bit older, you'll be lovable when you get straight A's. Then I'm really going to love you unconditionally. When you get that job that's impressive, then you're worthy and lovable. When you marry that right partner, when you're financially stable, this is a message we get from society, from our parents, from teachers, from all sorts of, you're lovable when you fill in the blank. So you're lovable conditionally. Not unconditionally, it's conditionally. You're loved when you are fulfilling these conditions that I have deemed are most important in order to be a successful, happy human being on this earth. That's a message most of us got. I would actually say 99% of us in this room got that message over and over again in our childhood and our young adult years. So the message that children are getting is we must behave well to get loved. And love is withheld when we make mistakes. We get sent to our room. We get told that we're bad. You weren't good today, so you don't get to go blah, blah, blah. You're a bad child. That message that we get is that we're somehow not lovable. Sometimes we might be, but not all the time. So I believe that is part of this failure to thrive in adults that's going on. That we have learned this message over and over again in our lives that we're not really lovable or worthy unconditionally. So I keep throwing that word out, unconditional love. What am I talking about? Let's make sure we're on the same page so that when I say that word, we're talking about the same thing. Unconditional love. I have learned a new meaning, a new definition for that from one of my teachers, one of my mentors. His name is Dr. Greg Baer. I have been studying under him and his teachings for a few years now. And he's developed this technique, this way of life. It's called real love. And he defines, oh, sorry, there's mom mad. Sorry, I forgot that one. There's me mad, right? That's not really me, but it looks like me. All right, so real love. So he defines love, unconditional love, as he calls it real love, as opposed to conditional love. Real love is defined as unconditionally caring about the happiness of another person without any thought for what we might get for ourselves. Now, that's a pretty tall order. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds like, oh, yeah, that's the way I want to do it. But how many of us have actually experienced that? How many of us have actually experienced unconditional caring from someone else that didn't want anything from us? So that means they didn't want us to say thank you. They didn't want us to say, I love you too. They didn't want us to say, oh, I so appreciate you. They didn't expect, the person that's loving us doesn't expect us to be nice to them, to be appreciative. They don't expect us to, I don't know, buy them flowers, cook them dinner, all those things that we get into with our partners, our friends, even our children. So unconditional love, not expecting anything back, no expectations, just loving, just caring about someone, and they could do nothing in response, and that would be okay. That's unconditional love. Now, I know that as I grew up with some great parents that loved me the very best that they could, but they didn't know how to do this. They expected me to clean my room, or to get good grades, or to be nice to my sister, you know, to go to school, to finish school, to do all those things. Sometimes unexpressed verbally, but I knew that's what they expected of me, wanted of me, needed of me in order for them to validate me, in order for them to really show their love to me. Now, I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one in this room where that's the message that I got growing up. And then again, from my teachers, from my friends' parents, over and over again. So this is something that is unfortunately in today's world, not just in America, but in today's world, unconditional love doesn't happen very often. We don't know how to do it. And that's the truth, that most of us don't know how to do it. We need tools. We need to be taught because our parents didn't teach us. So part of what I want to share in this talk this morning is some of those tools, but you know what, I can't do it all in a 20-minute talk, so I'm going to give you some highlights, a couple of bullet points of things that are take-home points, and I'm going to encourage you to find a way in your life to start to practice unconditional love. So for me, it's this real love teaching. I ran across this several years ago, and I was compelled towards it. I knew it was for me. I knew that it was speaking just to me, not to anyone else, and I needed to learn this, right? But if it's not for you, if after I finish sharing and you hear more about this real love or in other times, it's not for you, that's okay. Find another teaching because there's lots of great masters out there who are teaching about unconditional love. This is not the only way. So if this isn't the one for you, I'm really encouraging you. find a way to start learning about unconditional love, how to practice it, and how to experience it in your life, because it will change our lives from just surviving to thriving. To thriving. And that is what we're here for, right? So I'm talking about love today, and I'm going to talk about this practice of real love. And then we're here on a Sunday morning. It's like it's church, right? It's spiritual center. So what's this got to do with our spiritual life? Well, I would say everything. It's got everything to do with our spiritual life. I would say that practicing unconditional love is actually a spiritual practice. For me, it's the most important spiritual practice in my day and in my life. As we practice unconditionally loving, it actually amplifies all of our other spiritual practices. The more that we can be loving, then when we go into meditation, then we are more open and receptive to the love of the universe. As we are practicing unconditionally loving and we're doing prayer or affirmative mind, spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer, then we are actually channeling, allowing the love of the universe to come through us and out of us onto whoever we're praying for and with. If I'm not being unconditionally loving, if I'm stuck in my stuff, in my pain, then I'm often kind of blocking. There's a stop. There's a stoppage somewhere in this process. And so I'm not allowing that love of the universe to flow through me into the world. You know, we teach about circulation here in this teaching, divine circulation. So as I practice unconditional loving and can be loving, I can receive the love, give the love, be the love so much more easily, so much more naturally. Because what I know to be true is that this universe is made up of love. That divine spirit, God, the universe, whatever name you want to call it, I believe that is unconditional love at its best. It is unconditional love at its core. It is where all unconditional love comes from. That's how we experience it and express it. Because I am here in body, as each one of you are too, because God had need of me now. God had need for each of you now. And so we are created out of that one life, that one power, and we are created here in body in order to express the divine, in order to be an expression of the divine. That's why we're here. And if the divine is unconditional infinite love, then is it not my job to learn to express unconditional infinite love in my life with other human beings? That's why we're here in bodies and flesh, right? We're here to practice this together. We're here as humans, this time around, however you believe, whatever you feel. We're here now to practice being loving with each other. That's how we are expressing the divine. That's really, in my mind, that's our purpose. That's our purpose, is to be loving with each other, to allow the love of the universe to flow through us and out with our fellow human beings, animals, plants, the earth itself. That's why we're here. So this is really all about spiritual practices and spirituality. So now I want to get into more about real love and the practice of unconditionally loving that is a practice of real love. Dr. Greg Baer says, with every decision, we're really choosing between love and selfishness, happiness and misery, freedom and bondage. And while we are loving, we can always be happy. Typo there, sorry. No matter what other people decide to do. So while we are loving, we can always be happy. And that's actually a lot of why I'm here talking about this today, is because since I have found the practice of real love and practicing unconditional love, I am so much more peaceful and happy than I ever was before. There really is a way to have spiritual practices and to be in science of mind or whatever spiritual belief system that you're in right now, and to find more peace and more happiness through practicing unconditional love. It has brought more peace, more happiness into my life than anything else. Now, I need it in combination with all of my spiritual practices. I need it in combination with prayer and meditation. It's not a standalone for me. It's connected to spirit divine. But it does bring peace and happiness. And, you know, I've been doing it the other way, the conditional love way, for over 40-some years before I found real love. So it takes some time. I'm not saying this is a magic bullet, this is like the cure, that you can just get the book and then you're going to be all happy the next day. I'm not trying to say that. Because realistically, that's just not, you know. Whenever I hear that, and people come on stage or you get a book and they say, oh, I've got the answer and it's so easy and it's so fast, 1995 and you're going to be happy, right? No, that's not what this is about. This is actually, I've been practicing for 3 years now and I still make mistakes all the time. Probably a little bit every day. Fall down, get up, brush myself off, practice again. Oh, God's calling. So, one of the practices with real love is this thing called the three-legged stool of happiness. This is how I actually find happiness and practice real love. This is one of the primary teachings of real love, is this three-legged stool. It's not the only one. There's lots of them, but this is one I want to leave you with today. And I have a graphic up there, and I've also got this little show-and-tell piece here. This is my version of the three-legged stool. It's a three-legged easel tripod, right? You got three legs on it, right? The power of love. So in order to experience real lasting happiness, in order to head towards happiness, there's three different practices that we can do. Three legs, three different practices. And I got this great, really strong teaching about how this is so critical that all three legs are needed in order to find happiness, that in order to experience happiness. You can't just do one of them. If that's the case, then what happens to a three-legged stool when one leg isn't holding it up? Take a guess. So this thing is kind of old and been around the block, and as I was setting it up, if you touch it just so, then this happens all the time. Like, all of a sudden, it's not stable, and it's not safe, and it's not strong. The foundation isn't strong. This just, if I just touch this thing, it's like, so it takes all three legs in order to be really experiencing happiness and freedom. Number one. Getting loved unconditionally. This is the first primary practice of unconditional love, is getting the love that you need from people who are able to love you unconditionally. So this does not mean that you go to people who might be empty or in pain themselves and don't have much to give. We find people who are also practicing unconditional love. We maybe need to create a community of those people in our lives, and we get the love that we need consistently. Consistently, like every day. And I want to say about that, that whenever I say this to people that are new to real love, they say, oh, I've got a really loving partner at home. I'm married to someone or I'm with someone and they're so loving, so I get all the love I need from that partner at home, so I'm good there. I would say to that, that's great, and I'm sure they can unconditionally love you a lot of the time. That's wonderful. But to expect them to do that every day when they're having a bad day, when they're sick, when they're not happy, things are going on, that's a lot of expectations on somebody. That's a lot of pressure on somebody. So we really need to go outside of our direct family and find other people we can practice being loving with who can love us unconditionally, flaws and all, mistakes and all, pain and all. You know, open, bared heart, they can love us. The second of the legs of the three-legged stool is loving others unconditionally. And that's actually a practice that I work hard with every day. And because 40-some years I didn't know how, I got to practice. It's like any spiritual practice. It's a practice. And I do make mistakes all the time. I get irritated, like with my daughter, with her messy room, I get irritated. Or I find myself being controlling, or I find myself being a victim. That's not loving. That's not loving to blame someone else. That's not loving. So to practice being unconditionally loving, to practice caring about the happiness of another person without any thought for what you might get yourselves. Every day, practicing this. So one way that I do this is every morning I have my meditation, prayer, my spiritual practices. And in my prayer time, my intention every day is, how can I be more loving today? I start every day with that. How can I be more loving today? And I put it into my prayer work. Allow me to be more loving today through my actions, my deeds, my energy. And then the third leg of the three-legged stool, again, each leg is critical, or else this one back here likes to show off sometimes. Yeah, it's like, woo, if we don't do all three legs and we don't have a solid foundation, then we're not heading towards happiness anymore. If I really wanted to be graphic, I would show you it falling down and then the happiness falling on the ground. But I'm not going to do that because that could be a little scary. So being responsible. Being responsible is actually one of the ones that can be the most confusing. I'm just going to touch on it. I don't have enough time to. I could talk a whole talk just on being responsible. I wanted to say that part of being responsible is learning to own our mistakes, learning to say when we're wrong, learn to say, I messed up and that wasn't loving of me. Like with my daughter, I could say, after we get home from school and I'm no longer irritated, I could say, sweetie, I was unkind to you and I was irritated and angry with you. Not your fault, it's because I was being controlling and I didn't want to be late to work. Not your fault, but that was really unloving of me. Just owning my mistake, not trying to be like a bad person, just I made a mistake, oops, brush myself off, get up, and keep practicing. So owning our mistakes is part of being responsible. The other piece to being responsible is not acting like a victim. That's one that we all fall into pretty easily. I still go to it regularly. Being responsible is taking responsibility for our own lives and not blaming everyone else out there. So I'm not the victim of everything else. Things may happen to me, but I'm not a victim of it. And then learning to trust. Learning to trust the love that's available to you. That's being responsible. Learning to have faith and to trust that there is love all around us every day. As I act loving, love comes back to me. It just does. It's this beautiful thing. We all actually want to be loving. We're all born wanting to love and wanting to be loved. So once we start practicing this, we find it just shows up for us all over the place, unexpected ways and means. The other way that you can be responsible or practice this, and this is my last piece I'm going to share with you, is there is a practice of real love. If you're called to this at all, you're drawn to this particular teaching. I have books for sale on the back table that I have bought, used, and I'm selling them at cost. They're $5 each on the back table. There's a basket. You can also go to the Real Love website, reallove.com, and it has a lot more information about this teaching and about ways that you can tap into it. There's lots of different ways that you can learn and practice this particular teaching. And then we have a weekly meeting here at the center. I've been facilitating it for 2 years now. We meet every single Monday. And if anyone here is comfortable doing so, no expectation. But there's a few people in this room that have been coming to those meetings over time. If you'd like to raise your hands and show who you are, stand up. There's a few of you. And so you could go to them and find out more about it. If you're interested in learning more, it's not just me that does this. There's a few of us in this room that do it. Yeah, there's Don being brave. And so you can go to them and find out more and join us on Monday night. Any Monday night, it's a drop-in. Come as you can, come as you will. No expectations of every week or any of that. And it's every Monday evening, 6:30 to 8:30. We'd love to see you here. I also have some handouts on the back table that teaches more about real love. If you want to learn more with your mind, be more intellectual about it, there's more on the back table. And I'll be glad to answer questions after this talk. So again, love is the greatest power of all. Love is why we're here. Love is our purpose. And I want to conclude with another quote by Dr. Ernest Holmes. Love heals, brings peace, and maintains harmony on all levels. Love is the expression of the infinite mind as creation. As we accept this expression in us, as we express love for God, as we let love flow from us into the world about us and let it return to us as it must, we discover that all else has been included. There is nothing of good that is not encompassed by love. It's the greatest power there is. If we avail ourselves of it, it will serve us well. And so now is our time for prayer for spiritual mind treatment.